Welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
Hello again, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1649, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, February the 3rd, 2026. Which in UTC time is Wednesday, February the 4th, 2026 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. Okay, thanks to Joe, W5BSA. We're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston. Also, the 443.325 repeater in Katy, they both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's also the 146.7 repeater downtown and its networked repeaters. And the AMSAT DMR TOG group, 98006. YSF Fusion is 11689. The All-Star node is 572580 when those connections are working. And then there's also Echolink, and that's at star AMSAT star. And I will now take local check-ins.
Is this Kilo Delta 5, Papa Quebec Juliet, KD5PQJ, Herbert, West Houston.
Okay, good evening, Herbert. KD5PQJ in West Houston. We got your board. Got anybody else up there?
Whiskey, Delta 5, Q
Juliet, Romeo Delta, WD5JRD, Carl, Jersey Village.
Ah, very good, Carl, you are out there. Very good, WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. Glad to have you aboard. Got anybody else? Okay, well, we're starting with some information here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And there was a balloon launch last week of WV5Y-15, but didn't go too far, at least as far as it was beaconing. It made it to, I guess, about Porter, or, you know, a little east, northeast Houston, let's say. See, Walter's updated. It says, it appears that the GPS has lost its lock, so the precise location is not clear, but based on the pressure indicator, it was topped off a little over 41,000 feet. And based on the most recent received stations as hearing it, he said it was picked up in Georgia, so may have gotten out that far, probably did, but just wasn't giving in to any digit meters or anything for some reason. And also the GPS, I think, had lost its lock. But he said, however, also based, it appears that it was losing altitude slowly. And he says, by now I suspect it's not getting sun on the solar cells out that direction. And so it hasn't beaconed in about a week or so. So we're probably going to say that one was a short trip. So that's how some of them go sometimes. Some of them go around the world seven times. And some of them don't make it out of Texas, or don't seem to. Okay, well, a reminder is the South Texas Balloon Launch Team does hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. That's at 4:30 p.m. here at a local restaurant. And then at 8 p.m. Central Time on the Internet, they have a meeting, and that's a Zoom meeting. And that's at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter making that available there. And keep on launching those balloons for the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. All right, we're switching gears over here to the AMSAT News Service Bulletin. This is ANS Bulletin number 32 from Mitch Ehrenstorf, 80HJ. And the AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. And to join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, we want to remind everybody that you can call and make a quick phone check-in if you'd like to do so to the Houston AMSAT Net. The number is 713-467-9870. You can also send an APRS message, and that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Or the email, it's wv5y@comcast.net. Okay, NASA has selected 34 volunteer organizations and individuals from around the world to help track the Orion spacecraft during the upcoming crewed Artemis II mission, which will carry four astronauts on a journey around the moon. The selected participants include commercial service providers, universities, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, and individual amateur radio operators, reflecting a broad international collaboration supporting humanity's return to deep space.
DL-123.
While NASA's Near Space Network and Deep Space Network will provide primary communications and navigation support, the volunteers will passively track radio signals transmitted by Orion during its approximately 10-day mission. Participants were chosen from proposals submitted in August of 2025. They will submit tracking data to NASA for analysis, helping the agency evaluate broader aerospace and amateur radio tracking capabilities. No funding is exchanged as part of this collaborative effort. This is a real step toward SCAN's commercial first vision, said Kevin Coggins, NASA's Deputy Associate Administrator for Space Communication and Navigation. Oh, and the SCAN group. By inviting external organizations to demonstrate their capabilities during a human spaceflight mission, we're strengthening the marketplace we'll rely on as we explore further into the solar system. This isn't about tracking one mission, but about building a resilient public-private ecosystem that will support the golden age of innovation and exploration. The initiative builds on a similar effort during Artemis 1 in 2022, when 10 volunteers successfully tracked Orion and provided valuable lessons on data formatting, quality, and standards compliance. For Artemis 2, SCAN now requires all submitted tracking data to meet its system standards. Public interest has increased significantly, with about 47 ground assets across 14 countries expected to support the mission. Amateur radio organizations and enthusiasts are well represented in the selected group. Participants include AMSAT Argentina, AMSAT Deutschland, the Amateur Radio Exploration Ground Station Consortium, CAMRAS in the Netherlands, the Deep Space Exploration Society in Colorado, and several individual operators, including Scott Tilley of Canada. Their involvement highlights the growing technical capability of the global amateur radio community to contribute meaningfully to deep space missions. Although NASA has formally selected a limited group to submit official tracking data, anyone with appropriate equipment can attempt to track Artemis 2 independently, either by monitoring Orion's radio emissions or by observing the spacecraft optically with a telescope during its translunar coast. NASA has emphasized that it is simply accepting data from a designated group and is not restricting independent observation. For amateur astronomers and radio operators alike, Artemis 2 offers a rare opportunity to witness and participate in humanity's return to deep space exploration. And you can read that full article that's over at www.nasa.gov/technology/space-coms/NASA-selects-participants-2-track-Artemis-II-mission. And we want to thank Katrina Lee from NASA and Scott Tilley, VE7TIL, for that information.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net.
Thailand's NACSAT-2 satellite, CubeSat, is preparing for deployment from the International Space Station, with release currently scheduled for February the 3rd, 2026, at 0855 UTC. So that should have been just like today, or yesterday. And the mission continues. Thailand's university-led CubeSat development program following the earlier NACSAT-1 mission. The project is led by King Mongkut University of Technology, North Bangkok in Thailand, working with domestic and international partners to advance satellite engineering. Also, payload integration and on-orbit operations. The deployment is expected to be viewable live online via the project live stream. And that's at youtube.com/watch?v=AB4POS-HSS. And, of course, thanks to Bruce, that link is available for you over at AmSatNet.com. And since Bruce is our webmaster and he puts the links up there, we appreciate that. And also, I'm making award information. So if you'd like to get an award or certificate for making a satellite contact, even your first one, there's information on how to do that over at AmSatNet.com. Thanks to Bruce, KK5DO. Okay, MACSAT-2 was transported to the International Space Station in late 2025 and is a 3U CubeSat designed to host multiple payloads. Satellite expands on MACSAT-1, which demonstrated Thailand's ability to design and build a satellite domestically. Development and testing were conducted in cooperation with MB Space and other academic and research partners. The mission is intended to help Thailand develop multi-payload CubeSat platforms and prepare for future rideshare launch opportunities. The satellite carries both educational and research payloads. Non-amateur missions include an Earth imaging camera, a store-and-forward Internet of Things data collection system for remote sensors, ultraviolet radiation measurement instrumentation, and in-orbit evaluation of space-qualified components. These payloads are part of broader national workforce development programs coordinated through the Thai Space Consortium and academic partner networks. The satellite will be operated in orbit using ground stations located in Thailand. NACSAT-2 also supports amateur radio operations through an APRS digipeater payload developed in coordination with the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand. The amateur payload operates using coordinated frequencies through the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, satellite frequency coordination process. All right, all nice and coordinated, doing things the right way instead of just putting things up there and, you know, put them on a frequency and letting them go. The APRS digipeater system uses 145.825 megahertz for uplink and downlink using FSK modulation at 9600 BPS with AXSAT-25 failing. The amateur satellite call sign assigned to the mission is
HS0K. In addition to amateur payloads, spacecraft transmits engineering telemetry on 400.630 megahertz using FSK at 9600 BPS with AX.25 framing and a 1 minute beacon interval. Following deployment, project coordinators requested assistance from the monitoring community to receive, decode, and submit telemetry reports from the 400.630 megahertz downlink, which is outside the amateur radio allocation.
BL-123.
Many satellite observers actively search for newly deployed spacecraft and contribute reception reports, helping mission teams verify spacecraft health and early on-orbit performance. The satellite is expected to rotate in orbit, and ground stations are recommended to use circular polarization with right-hand circular polarization preferred to improve reception reliability. NEXSAT-2 continues the growing trend of university-driven satellite programs contributing technical capability, education, and operational experience to the global amateur satellite community. University-built satellites are playing an increased role in expanding access to space while supporting educational outreach and new opportunities for amateur radio experimentation. Okay, for more information on NEXSAT-2, the deployment live stream is over at youtube.com/watch?v=AB4PIOS-HSS. There's the NEXSAT-2 packet forwarder software download. That's over at drive.google.com/drive/u/folders/, 18FA1JQJFF-JIHCE3ABD1BGHCKZLYSV98. Okay, and of course that link's at amsatnet.com, and then the NEXSAT-2 packet forwarder software manual. Okay, that's also over at drive.google.com/file/letter D/1IHF03WFXGXNFB4PHXQVXJML2R8PBH8OGU/view. And then the API registration for NEXSAT-2 packet forwarder is at docs.google.com. And NEXSAT-2 telemetry dashboard is also, it's at dashboard.NEXSAT.com/telemetry/D/NEXSAT-telemetry/NEXSAT-satellite-telemetry-monitor. Of course, just go over to amsatnet.com. Makes it a lot easier. And I want to thank tonight's theme prom, HS1JAN, and the International Amateur Radio Union for that information. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. All right, well, we'll be looking forward to more satellites to play with coming from Thailand. Okay, and also coming in 2026, we've got the SDR Gen 2, which is going to be a really badass radio-based transverter
that will cover 144 megahertz to 6 gigahertz continuous coverage, direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, LS, and C-band operations, up conversion to 5 and dime capability, so it will do 5 and 10 gigahertz as well, all mode, CW, single sideband, FTA, narrowband FM, single SFTV, ATV, all kinds of modes. The minimum downlink data rate is 1 megascan per second, and it's built to fly on the Fox Plus and the Golf missions. Okay, we followed the advertisement for this all the way through 2025, so we're hoping it will come to fruition, and we'll see it actually happen here and sometime here, not too far into 2026. And that comes from the AMSAT engineers, keeping amateur radio in space, and the ASCENT program, Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology. All right, and speaking of hardware, the CubeSat Sim satellite emulator kits are now available in the AMSAT store. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. CubeSat Sim is an educational satellite emulator designed to provide a hands-on introduction to space communications, telemetry, and satellite systems. Kits are now available for purchase through the AMSAT store, and that's at www.amsat.org/product/CubeSat-Sim-Kit. Priced at $550 with shipping included for U.S. addresses, the CubeSat Sim kit requires no soldering, only minimal assembly, making it ideal for educational use and public demonstrations.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
And of course, if you get it through AMSAT instead of through HeathKit, all this soldering and a lot of these hard stuff is done already. All of the surface mount technology and stuff, all that stuff's already on there. But if you get it through HeathKit, you're going to be soldering a lot of components onto those boards. And the CubeSat Sim kit includes a fully assembled and tested printed circuit boards, the main board, the silver board, and battery boards. You get a Raspberry Pi Zero 2 with a Pi camera and fully programmed micro SD card, along with a fully programmed Raspberry Pi Pico WH as well. And there's the AMSAT logo, remove before flight, key pack, switch, a 3D printed frame, nylon screws and nuts with a mini screwdriver included for assembly, metal standoffs, stacking headers, and JST jumpers for stacking the printed circuit boards and the Pi Zero 2, 10 solar panels with pre-soldered JST connectors and mounting tape. There's the BME-280 sensor, and that will handle pressure, temperature, altitude, and humidity, and the MPU-6050 IMU gyro pre-soldered. And there's also 2 6-inch SMA coax cables and 2 SMA antennas. The kit also comes with an instruction sheet, parts inventory, and links to online instructions. Assembly time is estimated to be under 2 hours with scissors and the provided mini screwdriver. So that's a lot quicker than what you can put together the HeathKit CubeSat Sim kit for. Version 2.0 CubeSat Sim features improvements over version 1.2. such as an FM transceiver, there's the Raspberry Pi Pico microcontroller, and RF command and control using DTMF or APRS packets. It can also be modified to function as a 500 milliwatt high altitude balloon payload. Okay, for the hardcore folks interested in creating your own CubeSat sim, well, you can get version 2.0 blank printed circuit board sets, and they are available at the AmFat store for only $35. These do require all the additional components, which can be purchased for approximately $400 using the provided bill of materials. Some additional resources you might want to check out, the kit instructions, that's over at cubesatsim.org/kit, kit videos, cubesatsim.org/kit-videos, discussion forum is over at GitHub, it's github.com/AlanBJohnston/cubesatsim/discussions, and then there's the quick start guide, and that's at cubesatsim.org/QST.
DL-123.
Okay, these kits are sold exclusively through the AmSat store. Only U.S. shipping addresses are eligible. Orders with non-U.S. addresses will be refunded and closed. About CubeSat Sim, CubeSat Sim is a low-cost satellite emulator powered by solar panels and batteries. It transmits UHF radio telemetry and can be expanded with additional sensors and modules, making it ideal for educational and public demonstrations. And we want to thank Alan Johnston, KU2Y, AmSat Vice President of Educational Relations, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. We're right at the bottom of the hour here. We're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to see if we have any more local check-ins or any other check-ins to the Houston AmSat Net coming out. Okay, well, we kind of missed our normal 15 minutes after. Look around and see who's checked in, but we'll go ahead and do that now. Let's see, we did talk to Charlie, K5ENG, as the fact that we were over at his shack there messing around and earlier this evening and today. So we got Charlie checked in, and he's over there in West Houston, so we appreciate that. He's doing good. And let's see, also, we've got Dale, WD0AKO, he's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota, and he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. So we appreciate him doing that for us. We have had to use it once or twice, and we appreciate that check-in we got from him last week, and we know it's been very cold up there. All right, we've got Vern, WA0RCR, and he's out there in Wentzville, Missouri. He transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz and full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band. And then Kai in 6ZZO is out there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners. He calls and checks in. So we always appreciate that, and enjoy talking to Kai, and well, we'll be following along. I know he's following along with the Artemis stuff, so of course, looks like we're postponed by about a month there, but we'll still be following along with that, and we'll be providing an update here after a little bit. Let's see, from APRS check-ins. Okay, let's see, we've got Ken from the Internet Relay Chat System. Let's see, we don't have any APR tickets, but we've got AK0A, Ken, KG4OZW, Clay, KG4WIJ, Brian, NZ9T, Renee, K8WX, Bob. So we hope all y'all are doing good this evening, and we appreciate those check-ins. Oh, and we also want to say hello to Rachie over there with Clay as well. All right, we got an update from Mitch, 80HJ, tonight's editor, and he says, just looking and haven't seen any NACSAT2 telemetry yet. He said it was needed out of the ISS about 16 hours ago, so it looks like it was deployed about 16 hours ago. So we appreciate that update there from Mitch. Okay, let's see here. From Echo Link, we've got Andrew, KC5LWI. Good evening to Andrew, and he's down there in Galveston. Then we've got Mitch, 80HJ. He's up there in Jackson, Minnesota, up in the cold country. And, of course, Mitch does the Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place on DMR. It's the digital AmSatNet, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. And that's in the AmSat DMR talk group of 98006, YSF Fusion 11689. And so if you're going to be doing any roving or making any grid squares available to satellite contactors, satellite operators, well, you might let Mitch know on the Wednesday night AmSatNet. And then we want to say hello to Damien, AG9P. He's out there in Oconto, Wisconsin. And he's been listening to our net for a long time, as has Dave, WB7DRU. He's up there in Howard Lake, Minnesota. Good evening to Dave. All right, we've got N6UTC. Of course, that's Indoff, and he's out there in Long Beach, California. Good evening to Indoff. And we've got KA5YFC. He looks like he's portable this evening. Steve, up there in Olathe, Kansas. So good evening to Steve. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Open.Space Phased Array Project targets low-cost EME for hams. An upcoming open-source hardware project called Open.Space aims to lower the barrier to Earth-Moon-Earth, or EME, communications for amateur radio operators by using a modular, software-defined phased array system instead of traditional large dish antennas. EME, or also known as moon bounce, involves transmitting a signal towards the moon, reflecting it off the lunar surface, and receiving it back on Earth. Historically, this has required large, high-gain antennas, high-power transmitters and or amplifiers, and precise mechanical tracking, putting it out of reach for many amateurs. Open.Space proposes using electrically steerable phased arrays built from small, low-cost software-defined radio, or SDR, tiles. A phased array combines the signals from many small antennas using precise timing delays, allowing radio beams to be steered electronically without motors or moving parts. This enables rapid tracking, improved interference rejection, and compact installations. A familiar consumer example of phased array technology is the flat panel antenna used by Starlink satellite internet terminals. At the core of the system is the open space quad tile, a four antenna SDR module covering 4.9 to 6 gigahertz in the C band. Each tile supports 40 megahertz of bandwidth using an 8-bit ADC and delivers about 1 watt of transmit power per antenna. The tiles can operate as standalone 4x4 MIMO SDRs for RF experimentation, direction finding, or digital communications, or they can be combined into larger phased array structures. Okay, the mini starter phased array is composed of 18 quad tiles or 72 antennas plus an interconnect structure. The price will be from $8.99 to $14.99, it looks like here. A compact, budget-friendly phased array that already delivers substantial directivity. It's designed for experimentation and hands-on phased array learning. Add extension boards later to grow the array further. The applications it covers: high gain, backhaul and directional links, repeater backhaul, fox hunting and geolocation, mobile field ops, long-range drone telemetry and HD links, receive downlinks from low Earth orbit amateur satellites.
DL-123.
Okay, performance and notes. Once again, the array size is 18 tiles or 72 antennas. Beam steering is 60 degrees. Expected array gain is 34.0 dBi, and the EIRP is 52.6 dBw. Low latency beam forming, coherent clocking across quad tiles. It's got a power supply. It's a 12-volt DC using about 450 watts peak. And the license is any amateur radio technician plus to operate, with country restrictions also applying. All right, but here in the United States, that's only a technician class license, which is the first amateur easiest license to get. We got a check in from Vern, WZRCR, there off the phone lines. Okay, the opened up space mini phased array. Multiple tiles can be assembled into phased arrays using a modular lattice frame. The mini starter array consists of 18 tiles totaling 72 antennas. Is expected to provide roughly 34 dBi of gain, about 52.6 dBw of EIRP, and up to 60 degrees of electronic beam steering. While the mini configuration is not large enough for moon bounce, it is intended for learning, experimentation, satellite downlinks, and long-range directional links. For full EME capability, Open.Space proposes the Moon Array, built from 60 tiles and 240 antennas in a 1 meter wide aperture. This configuration is expected to deliver around 39.3 dBi of gain and 63.1 dBw of EIRP, making moon bounce experiments feasible. Additional planned applications include radio astronomy, RF imaging, and advanced phased array research. One of the most notable aspects of the project is its proposed cost in U.S. dollars. Individual tiles are expected to sell for approximately $49 to $99 U.S. dollars. The mini array is projected at $899 to $1499 U.S. dollars, and the moon array at $2499 to $49.99 U.S. dollars, or about up to about $5,000. Significantly less than traditional EME hardware setups. The Open.Space hardware has not yet been released, but the project website lists March of 2026 as the expected shipping date. The developers note that the system is not intended for radar applications or due to export control restrictions. Those interested can sign up on the Open.Space website to receive email updates when the hardware becomes available. And ANS thanks Open.Space and RTL-SDR.com. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Let's see, once again, our website addresses, let's see, it's www.amsatnet.com for our net and the information on the certificates for making satellite awards or contacts. And then Bruce has more satellite award information over at amsat.org since he is the awards guy, as well as being on the board of directors. And so also at amsat.org, you can find out the frequencies that the satellites are operating on. You can find out about their status, which ones are currently operating and which ones maybe are not currently working so well. And then there's the downlink and uplink and telemetry frequencies listed over there for the satellites. And also, you can find information about the symposium coming up for this year, and also the store where you can even buy M2 LEO packs and get those good antennas for making satellite contacts. And you get a little discount, and you also help keep amateur radio in space. All right, the 2026 coins are also here, so you can help support Golf T and Fox Plus with that route as well by adding to your collection of coins for the President's Club. And the annual membership is only $120 where it starts. You can join the AmSat President's Club today, help keep amateur radio in space. URL is www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. See, we've done some changes to the AmSat TLE distribution to line up. These, often referred to as Keplerian elements or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. So you just go out to the website, re-download this file every week, load it into your satellite tracking program on your computer, and it will keep all the satellites in the correct locations so that when you refer to that for when the satellites are passing over, well, the times will coincide. All right, TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. And new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, an alternate source for two line elements for IO-86 has been identified, and it has been re-added to the AMSAT TLE distribution. So the following satellite has been removed from this week's AMSAT TLE distribution, and that's GHS-01, NORAD catalog ID 65733. It decayed from orbit on or about the 20th of January, 2025. And then we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen in, it's on 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, we've got a completed contact here that you may have listened to. That's the Con Magnet Elementary School in Raleigh, North Carolina. They had a contact via K4EB with the ISS call sign NA1SS. The scheduled crew member was Chris Williams, KJ5GEW. The ARS mentor was AA6TB, and the contact was successful on Friday, 1/30/2026 at 15:10:30 UTC. BL-123. Okay, then now let's see. 2-2. This has already happened as well.
Excuse me, that's the Aznakovsky District of the Republic of Tatarstan, Russia.
They had an ISS call sign with RS0ISS with Sergei Mykov, and the ARS mentor was RV3DR. Contact Monday 2/2/2026 at 0955 UTC. Okay, also from Russia, we've got school number 4, Simonov, Nizhny Novgorod, with RS0ISS and crew member Sergei Mykov, and the ARS mentor RV3DR, the contact, Tuesday 3/3/2026 at 10:45 UTC. All right, so that one is just like in a few hours. So we've got the Lyceum number 23 in Kaliningrad, Russia. The ISS call sign scheduled the RS0ISS with Sergei Mykov. The ARS mentor is RB3DR. The contact is Thursday 2/5/2026 at 10:45 UTC. All right, we've got a contact from Belgium. That's the Klimop Tangerine Borgloon, Belgium, telebridge via ON4ISS. ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS. Scheduled crew member is Chris Williams, KJ5GEW. The ARS mentor, ON6TI. And that contact is Thursday, 2/5/2026. At 12:21:51 UTC. Many times a school makes a last minute decision to do a live stream or runs into a last minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but those folks at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication, so you can always check live.ars.org to see if a school is live streaming. And as always, if you'll hear anything, it may be because there's an EVA, a docking, or an undocking going on, and that's when the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And also, the crossband repeater remains configured in the Columbus module. It's on 145.99 megahertz up with teal tone of 57. And then you listen on 437.800 megahertz down. Okay, if you go to work a contact through the ISS repeater and talk to somebody else on the ground, and a crew member decides to pick up the mic and turns up the volume on the radio in the ISS, you may hear them on the air. So keep listening. You just never know when activity might occur, and you may be the one that gets to talk to them and get a QSL card. Service module IORS is not currently in APRS configuration. It's being used only for voice contacts at this time. Ham TV in the Columbus module is configured for scheduled digital amateur television operations on 2395.00 megahertz. And all the times we list are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before any of our listed times. And the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found. And that's right over at www.ars.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use on the ISS can be found at www.ars.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations. They demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites and host information tables with club meetings, fanfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events they go to. AMSAT Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, "Think a 75-minute presentation on working the Easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event?" Well, let him know. You can email him at k6lcsclint@gmail.com. Or calling Clint at 909-999-7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far has been customized and tailored to his audiences. All right, I know a lot of folks have left Houston and headed to Florida. And that's for Hamcation 2026, which is February 13th through the 15th. And that's at the Central Florida Fairgrounds and Expo Park at 4603 West Colonial Drive in Orlando, Florida, 32808. And that's www.hamcation.com. AMSAT will have a table and many items available for purchase. You can contact Dave Jordan, AA4KN, to volunteer. And if you'd like to do so, you can just email m4bsitwo@bellsouth.net. Okay, then March 21st, 2026, is the Midwinter Madness Hamfest. And that's at the Maple Grove Radio Club in Buffalo Civic Center. 1306 County Road 134 in Buffalo, Minnesota, 55313. And the URL is k0ltc.org/midwinter-madness. And you should see some good folks there. You see Joanne, K0JF, Mitch, 80HJ, and KE0PBR there, all man in the AMSAT booth. So for more info, you can go to www.amsat.org/ambassador. OK, Okay, we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Hey, don't forget about the AMSAT Remove Before Flight T-Tags. They are available, and they are the real thing, just like what really goes on the satellites. Your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite, and it does include first-class postage for those in the United States, but it is only available for those in the United States. Sorry. You can order today, and that's at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Okay, AMSAT Francophone is open ticketing for the ninth amateur radio space meeting scheduled for March 7th through the 8th, 2026, in Nanterre, France. Annual gathering brings together amateur satellite operators, spacecraft designers, student researchers, and space enthusiasts to share projects, ideas, and technical advances. The event will be hosted at the Electro Lab, with free admission to all conference sessions. Call for contributions remains open to everyone, offering formats that include 15 to 25-minute conferences, 5-minute T-5 presentations, and short videos of up to 3 minutes. You can find reservations and event details at www.billetweb.fr/9-eme-renconterre-spatial-radioamateur. With presentation and video submissions due by February the 10th, 2026.
BL-123.
Okay, Blue Origin successfully completed the 38th flight of its new Shepard suborbital vehicle on January the 22nd, marking the program's first mission of 2026. The mission, designated US-38, launched from Blue Origin's launch site 1 in West Texas during a morning launch window. All right, for 21 years, from 1999 to 2020, millions of volunteers worldwide used their home computers to support SETI at home. I processed over 25,000 SETI units, one of the largest citizen science efforts ever conducted. It was operated by scientists at the University of California, Berkeley. The project analyzed radio data from the Arecibo Observatory and identified roughly 12 billion signals of interest. After a decade of follow-up analysis, researchers narrowed those detections to about 1 million candidates and then to 100 signals worthy of further investigation. Since July 2025, those targets have been reobserved using China's 500-meter aperture spherical telescope, or FAST radio telescope, which has 8 times the collection area of Arecibo. While researchers do not expect these signals to be extraterrestrial in origin, the results helped establish new sensitivity limits for large-scale SETI searches.
W5BSA repeater.
Scientists say the project's biggest legacy may be the lessons learned about filtering radio frequency interference and designing future all-sky Technosignature surveys. And we want to thank UC Berkeley News for that information. And you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. In addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. students enrolled in at least half-time status are eligible for free membership all the way up to age 25. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, remember to help keep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ahrenstorf, AD0HJ. That's MAHRENSTORFF at amsat.org. Okay, we went in a little over there. We didn't get to the NASA running into trouble, fueling up the Artemis II moon rocket. That looks like they're postponed by about a month. So we'll be following that, and we'll have some more info, I'm sure, on that next week. So stay safe out there. Keep making lots of satellite contacts from Andy, W5ACM. Bruce, KK5DO in Northwest Houston, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston. We say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.